Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this joke court. But it's no host bar, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? It is your boy, Weed Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. As always, I'm joined with DJ Wavy D. How's it going?
What is poppin'? What's going on?
Good. You could catch DJ Wavy D's updated WrestleMania predictions on the Casual Wrestling channel. Wavy Mania episode 3 dropped on Sunday, which was unknown to me that was going to happen. So that was good to watch on Sunday.
Because Nerdy was busy with the fam on Thursday. So then he was like,
I think it worked out though, because you got to discuss The Rock from Friday. So
yes.
And so that was good. And we'll talk about that a little bit on this episode. As always, check the links in the description. Use our Expedia link. You know, if you're saving up, like I'm gonna start saving up for Mania 42. Wavy D and Nola, can't miss it. Yeah. Can't miss it. Can't miss that one. I'm gonna have to miss Vegas. I can't miss Nola. So use that Expedia link, use the WWE shop link. We're going to get to the Let's Get Cooking segment. This one's one that I kind of stumped myself with this one. We're going to pitch a story to Tony Khan that would make us as more casual fans want to watch AEW. I'm going to let you go first.
Currently, there is no story that will get me to currently watch AEW, unless it's like a WWE invasion.
Okay.
But if I'm going to watch AEW, it definitely got to be centered around MJF. Mm-hmm. He's my favorite wrestler over there. I haven't kept up with the Acclaim split up. How's that been going over there?
I think it's officially done. Like, they've split. And so, from what I've sort of gathered while somewhat watching it, while James has been watching, Max has just been fighting a whole bunch of random people. He trademarked, like, the best in the world or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And so, he keeps going out. He's losing all these squash matches, which is fun. That's the whole point. I don't know if they're ever going to fight each other, though. I haven't really been paying attention to
Is Eddie Bowen getting TV time or just Max?
Just Max, which is the worst one of the group. I don't know why Bowens isn't on TV.
Yeah, so if I'm doing a story, I'm doing like the underdog buildup of Anthony Bowens.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ultimate heel he would have to overcome would be MJF.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing really in the women's division over there that really gets me going.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a huge Monet fan.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Willow Nightingale, so pushing her would get my juices flowing. I don't like that new girl they've been pushing who upstaged my girl Thunder Rosa.
Megan? So here's the thing with her. She's got a good look to her. She looks good, not just from like a physical attraction standpoint, but from like
a wrestler build.
A presentation, she looks good. But how many times did we see last night on Raw? And we'll talk about Raw in a minute. But Gunther, a heel. Dipped the ring as soon as Jay's music. He dipped the ring as soon as Jay's music played. Even like the New Day, they do it all the time. As soon as the heels, or they're the heels, so as soon as the faces music plays, they leave the ring. I will say, like I said on my episode that I put on Sunday, I'm kind of happy they at least tried to turn it into a story. But it's, I don't know, it's still kind of crazy how. I mean, Megan Bain's been in the business for 8 years. She doesn't know how to be a heel. So I'm with you, though. I couldn't think of a single person on AEW's roster right now that I would turn into a story that would get me wanting to watch the product. I think Hangman and MJF is going to be fine, but to me, that's no different than Swerve and Hangman. It's you just swap characters. But I'm with you. I think they need a uber babyface, like uber underdog babyface. So you could do Bowens. One of the first things that came to mind for me was like Daniel Garcia.
Did he get his push yet?
No, he's whatever champion he is, the mid card that's not Okada. I don't know the name of it, but TNT. Is he the TNT champion? That might be it. I know he's a champion. I don't know which one it is. But I would love to see him get that sort of like Daniel Bryan WrestleMania 30 type push. Because I think a major star that they could build around. But I'm with you. The women's division, I like Rosa. It's crazy that Britt Baker's not on TV. He's your biggest star. And I don't know what we got. I watch the show sort of like half-ass every week just to see what's going on. And there's nothing. There's zero substance to that show. It's just a bunch of wrestling, which is fine if that's what you like. But you can't convince mass amount of people who like the storytelling to come watch your product if there's nothing to keep them, you know, gripped. You know, they try to do Australia. You had the buy-in or the play-in from NBA, 1.3 million people, and in 8 minutes you lose half of them because Ospreay and Omega on TV first thing.
It was crazy that Ospreay opened that show.
Yeah.
And also, wasn't that a tag team match also?
Yep, Ospreay Omega versus Fletcher and Takeshko.
How the fuck you put that as a tag team match? Two of your top like individual wrestlers in Ospreay and Omega.
Yep.
You put them in a tag team match. Yeah. What was supposed to be a pay-per-view, even though they want to say it wasn't supposed to be one.
So here's my argument to that, because you're right. You know, we haven't really had a chance to discuss this, but you're right. They never said it was a pay-per-view. But because their excuse that their fans like to say is, well, Grand Slam's always been a Collision or a Dynamite. And they're not wrong, but when they've promoted it, they've always had the Dynamite and Collision logos on the poster. Never once in the year that they had to promote this did the logo for Collision or Dynamite ever show up on the promotion for this. This was supposed to be a paper. You don't rent a 60,000-seat arena for Collision. We're not stupid. So I just, yeah. AEW is one of those things. It's a niche product. If you like it, you like it. But it's really hard for me to even think of anyone. Like MJF, I think, is pushable. I mean, I personally like Chris Statlander, but I don't think there's anything you can really do with her that'll get her over. I think Harley Cameron is someone who she's there, Maxine Dupri, but she's also like the best thing they have going for them because she would sell merchandise. She would bring eyes to the product. It's crazy.
You mentioned not to cut you off. You mentioned merchandise. Mm-hmm. Bro, at AEW, was it Grand Slam over in Australia?
Yeah.
They didn't even bring enough merchandise sell to fans.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I follow a girl that she's not an AEW hater whatsoever. She's more of a WWE fan, but she went to the show. She lives in Australia. And she said she got in the arena, and within an hour of them opening the doors, they were sold out of everything. That's insane. Absolutely insane. There's no you knew how many people were going to be there. Like, I don't understand why you don't order I don't get it. I don't understand how that happens.
And they don't even bring like merchandise for like their top stars.
Right.
It's some random merch or AEW like.
Right. It's like the AEW I Was Here merch is mostly what they sell. And I can understand why, because they do use pro wrestling tees and they print to order. And but with that, you know who your popular wrestlers are in certain markets. You should have Jay, if you're going to Australia, Jay White, Tony Storm, Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay. You shouldn't ever run out of their merchandise.
Yeah, and also, yeah, buy in bulk, get a little bit of an inventory, take it over there with you.
Not even that. If you take an inventory, it's not like it's going to go bad. It's a fucking t-shirt. You can bring it to the next show. So, and I get it. I guess it's, but Tony Khan's got this whole idea like Tony Khan can't pay for shipping for a 20 by 20 ring. Bro, shut up. Your dad is the 50th richest man in the world. He has.
Also, you're telling me that you couldn't find a 20 by 20 ring in Australia?
Yeah. Yeah. This is, we're going to go down the wrong.
If we're going to rent a ring anyways, you're telling me you can't find a 20 by 20 rent a ring when you have like what, 5 months? How far are we book advertising this show? Booking the show.
I swear it, they booked it for at least 7-8 months.
So you told me in the last 7-8 months, you couldn't find a 20 by 20 ring in Australia
with steps and that wasn't crooked. Did you see the post?
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, oh my God. But
back to your cooking thing real fast. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Darby Allin, I was getting interested in him before he left to go climb Mount Everest. I was interested in his and John Moxley's story. I feel like Darby should have been the one to defeat Moxley. So, he probably still will be, but
yeah, I think they're holding that, and I think that's the plan. Though, part of me believe Moxley might lose at Revolution to cope. That's the way they've been pushing that, but I think Darby Allin's supposed to be like the savior of AEW. If and when he comes back from Everest.
Did he start climbing yet?
I don't think so. I don't know when he's supposed to. But it's crazy. Let's transition into WWE's product over the last week. So we mentioned, SmackDown. I thought the main thing, I'll be honest with you, just like you were saying on Notorious D show, I really didn't care about the show until The Rock said he was going to be there.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. Like, I don't, like, go out the same way you do, but, like, I could find things to do on a Friday night. And then The Rock shows up. And I was getting a little hype for it. I didn't know what was going to happen. I kind of figured Roman wasn't going to be there. They're playing off this injury. But I guess we could sit outside of the Rock segment because I want to do that separate. What else did you think about the rest of the show?
I thought that Cody Rhodes was best dressed until I saw Tama Tonga.
Okay.
Tama Tonga had that drip on him, boy. He had that drip. Yep. But SmackDown, see, it's hard because I forgot who was talking about earlier in the Discord. They were essentially saying that Tiffany's kind of like stuck in like this weird like Twilight Zone until we get to WrestleMania. Like, she should be facing, I think, Trish Stratus in a 1v1 match instead of tag teaming with her. She had a sloppy match against Candice LeRae. She had a nip slip. Let's see. She's looking weak. Her and Trish literally got like double stacked and Bonsai dropped. So not making her look too strong over there.
That was one of my takeaways is they're having Tiffany Stratton. They're pushing her in like the babyface role of we need to give her sympathy, and that's not who Tiffany Stratton is. Charlotte's come in, trying to be a bad bitch, which we all know she's not. And this is a weird gimmick that they're giving Charlotte. Like, I don't know what it is. I mean, cool, she's the rich, successful, on the yacht. That's cool. But Tiffy a bad bitch, too. Why can't Tiffy come out there and be like, Charlotte, everything that you're claiming you're doing, that's great. That's your legacy. But in 2 years of me learning the business, I went from NXT to women's champion. I can beat you. And we should have, like, Tiffany be the strong, like, confident heel and not this one that's losing all the time. I'm personally of the belief that she shouldn't be wrestling at all until Mania. I just think it's too big of a risk to get her hurt. The last thing we need right now is Cody, Tiffany, and the main title or the main scene, the main picture of Mania right now getting hurt 2 months before Mania.
Facts.
And so I don't know why Tiffany's in matches all the time. I don't know why Cody hasn't really been wrestling all that much, but
the Sami KO stuff is going strong.
Yeah, that stuff is good.
That promo
from Kevin, that was insane.
It was.
And I saw someone comment on it. I saw someone comment, you know, Kevin turned the camera off and went inside and played video games for Sami. I was like, yeah, you're probably not wrong, but that's crazy.
Why is Santos Escobar not in the ring at all? This man does all these, like, he does like 15 second backstage, like, like little intimidation thingies, or hey, we're keeping an eye on you. Yo, put Santos in the ring, okay? We're ganging dry, Andrade is cool, but like, put Santos in the ring. There's no reason why he can't be wrestling.
I think Santos is one of the better part of your mid card right now. Like, Andrade's cool. Shinsuke, I think everyone's over. And Carmelo sort of stuck in between mid card and top card because he's fighting Cody in dark matches. So,
SmackDown's lacking a low card, like a job squad.
Yeah.
I feel like no one over there can like really afford losses. But they're not losing against any jobbers. I also
felt this card definitely felt that they rewrote the show, like last minute, and it's because The Rock showed up and they were going to give The Rock whatever he wanted.
Do you think before The Rock announced his return, they were going for the women's tag team match that they were going to do that attack ambush and do it on Raw, or do you think that they were going to have the switch titles on SmackDown?
So the match that was supposed to happen on Raw was just a singles match, right? It was Liv versus Naomi, right?
Well, because the WWE tag team, the women's tag team championship match was originally scheduled for SmackDown. Okay. And then they ambushed them and attacked them. And the match, I think, got moved to Raw, right?
So my understanding was it was Liv versus Naomi. And then Raquel ambushed Naomi during the match. And of course, Bianca, I mean, they were out there. Like on the sidelines. That's what I thought was going on.
Oh, I thought it was the tag match because they were all in their wrestling gear. Like Bianca wasn't like in manager uniform. She was in matching wrestling gear.
Interesting. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I really wasn't paying attention that much to the rest of the card. I was just waiting for The Rock. So we're going to go ahead and talk about this. And we're going to probably stay here for a few minutes. My reaction Friday versus how I feel about it now is a little bit different. I'll say this. I wasn't necessarily confused with what The Rock was doing. I just thought the promo was ass. I thought The Rock did not have his best promo. The story is perfectly fine. I kind of disagree. We kind of try to talk this out over the weekend in Nerdy D's Discord. I don't necessarily hold on to the story you think's happening. You're sort of, you know, he's giving him the second chance to, and I'll have you explain what you believe. My take on this is I'm going to offer you the world sort of like temptation. Even though in reality, The Rock doesn't have the authority to give Cody what he's offering. I think at the end, it's just to test. Ultimately, and this is going to be a question that we have in the Discord. We can address this again. I don't think Cody takes the bait. I think Cody says no on Saturday. And either there's two directions you can go from that point. Either The Rock then attacks Cody, and that sets up Rock versus Cody, or The Rock could choose another man. Always has a plan B, and it's the winner of the chamber, whoever it could be. The cool thing with this chamber is outside of Cena and Priest, everyone's a heel, so it could be anybody. Part of me is leaning on Drew to be honest with you. Though someone said don't ever trust Rollins, it could be Rollins, which they're not wrong there. But yeah, I mean, what did you take from The Rock's little promo here?
So I kind of took it as The Rock giving Cody a second chance. So, for those who don't know, Cody, when he originally left WWE, he was a heel on the indie scene. You know, saying he was putting in some work. You know, a lovable heel, but still a heel. And then, you know, he created AEW. And I feel like, just as someone who's going to start a company, who's like in the prime of their career, you know, I might book myself to the top of the card. I might book myself as champion, kind of like how I'll have more of a greedy and self-centered point of view, almost like kind of how the Young Bucks do or did in their EVP role gimmick. And but Cody, he didn't want to get compared to a Triple H or the company that he left. He wanted to be compared to those guys. So he fought against his greed and decided to try to be a man of the people and go about it that way. And you know, you have to bring in all the AEW stuff, but you know, essentially Cody booked himself out of world title pictures. He booked himself out of fighting for championships. And it got to a point where he booked himself in the corner, but that's, you know, some behind the stage, behind the curtain stuff. But essentially, it's Cody ran a company, but didn't get to enjoy the fruits of his labor. He created a company, didn't get to enjoy the fruits of his labor. So now, I think The Rock is pretty much telling Cody, like, hey, you know, you put in a lot of work, you're the face of the company, you can go from kissing babies and high-fiving nerds to kissing supermodels and having handshakes deals with tycoons. All right. And pretty much you can get all the fame plus more, all the fruits of your labor plus more, without putting in all the like going to 15 talk shows a week and doing all these, you know, live pressers and doing all this bull crap. And I was like, you know, you see my cousin Roman Reigns, this man ran the industry for 4 years and wrestled like 5 times a year. That could be you. You don't gotta do all these house shows for these broke peasants on weekends. You can just wrestle the 5 PLEs a year, main event PLEs left and right. You don't gotta put in all this peasant work. So, you know, be my champion, be my guy, carry out my agenda. And you know, and also I found it interesting how, you know, as fans, you know, we didn't realize, you know, kayfabe or work or whatever, that Cody and The Rock had become friends over the past year. You know, their moms are friends. Like, you know, we're thinking these two guys still have a blood feud against each other and are waiting for like a rematch of some sort. But meanwhile, these guys turn to friends behind the scenes. So I'm thinking, at the end of the day, to sum it up, I think a storyline we could be going down is kind of getting like a heel Cody and kind of like a corporate Cody, if you will, corporate Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think we have built-in pieces to almost have like a Cody cabinet, a corporate Cody cabinet of former AEW superstars coming over. You got Sean Spears, Ethan Page, and like Lexus King, to name a few. I don't think Ricky Starks is in that group, but I would take like a Sean Spears and an Ethan Page. And
you mentioned names when you were saying this with Nerdy D. You mentioned like Miro. You also, this is how you could bring back Malakai Black, because he was, you know. So while I disagree with your premise, and I'll go down that. That story is interesting. It would be interesting to see if they could book that. My issue with it isn't the story itself. It's, I don't quite believe that Cody views himself as not having the fruits of his labor, because I truly believe, and I said this in 2019 when AEW was announced, that I truly believe that Cody hooked himself to the Elite because they were the most popular thing in on the indie scene at the time. He hooked himself to Tony Khan because he's a money mark who would do whatever Cody asked for. And that his entire purpose of starting AEW was to use it as a stepping stone to get back to WWE and to be viewed as not the mid-card but the top of the card in the way that they've treated him since they've brought him back. So I do believe his intention wasn't the same as the Elite in starting AEW. I think the Elite wanted to try to actually build a company from the ground up. I think Cody wanted to find a way back to WWE, and that's why I believe he was the first one to leave when the time arose for him to leave. So I personally believe he's already had the fruits of his labor with being the champion. And so I just playing into your story, though, if this is the direction they're going, you seem to have a little bit better indication on where the product's going. I seem to be a little bit more. Triple H isn't very logical in his booking, and I tend to be more logical. And you seem to have a better pulse on where he's going. So let's say they do go that direction. Just something that came to mind. What if it gets like announced that The Rock came back last year for the purpose of recruiting Cody Rhodes, and he purposely screwed Roman Reigns by making it Bloodline Rules with the intention of knowing that Cody would beat him if it was Bloodline Rules. I think that's an interesting story piece. But That's all fantasy booking. We'll see what happens on Saturday. That'll give us the next piece in the timeline here.
I still want to know what The Rock handed Cody. The Raw after Mania.
Yeah, I think there are little pieces in the storyline that we still have questions on that I wish we would have answered. The Rock came back and held up three fingers. That was at Bad Blood, right?
Yeah.
Do we even know what the three fingers mean?
No.
Okay. So it's little things like this. I mean, hopefully we get answers. Maybe The Rock's thinking like 40 steps ahead of us.
I don't know.
But we'll see. We'll see on Saturday.
But I do think corporate Cody, a good first, you know, a good person to lead him through that would be against CM Punk, who hates The Rock or hated The Rock when he was in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. It could also be like, I could see this where like Cody, like I would love it. I've been saying I want to heal Cody. I don't know. I think it would be good. Cody's better as a heel in my opinion. But it'll be interesting. I just wanted to stop all the IWC who think it's John Cena. They're not turning Cena on his last year in the business. I mean, he's been 20-plus years without going heel. He's not turning now. It also wouldn't make any sense. I mean, if he did, that would probably be the biggest shock ever. But the only way I could see it being Cena is if he loses Chamber and there's no other way for him to win 17 that he takes up Dwayne's offer. But it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense if it's Cena, just personally. So with that, we're going to do some awards here. You've already given your best dressed award. You're going to give it to Tama Tonga?
Yeah, that boy's looking fly.
Yeah, he looked good. I liked his outfit. Let's move on to best promo of the week.
Definitely not The Rock. When I count promo, I count in the arena stuff. So that kind of rules out Kevin's. Even though it was so good, I like the factor of being live in the arena because you know a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people more often than not can cut a really good pre-recorded thing when you have you know chances to redo it and don't have the interference from the crowd and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So. Really good promo. I low key, I think Logan Paul had a pretty good promo this past Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. I put Logan Paul and CM Punk, and I just realized we never talked about Raw, so let's go back real quick. What were your thoughts on last night's Raw?
I really liked it. Mm-hmm. There were certain parts I feel like I liked that you weren't a huge fan of. Like, I liked the Tozawa thing with Gunther. So, I know Tozawa got too much offense in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't get too – like the only move that Gunther really took was a sunset powerbomb.
Right.
Everything else, you know, he was getting hit or whatever.
So, my issue is more – it's not necessarily that Tozawa looked strong. It was – we're trying to build Jey Uso as, like, this underdog champion who has to – he really has to lean into to his belief in himself. And Gunther's not that scary of a heel if you really think about it. From the optics of if Tozawa could get offense on Gunther, then anyone can get offense on Gunther. And so that was my concern is that it doesn't benefit Jey Uso if you make Tozawa look good. Tozawa can afford to come in, do a kick or two. You know, even when it was Tozawa did the slap across Gunther's chest. If Gunther came back, slapped him, and then hit him with like the drop kick, and that was the match, and it was 30 seconds. I don't think it hurt anybody. It made Gunther look a little bit more aggressive. And I think by allowing that match to go multiple minutes, it didn't make Gunther look good, and it didn't benefit in pushing this idea that Gunther's unbeatable. And so that to me was what I was thinking. It wasn't a bad match. It wasn't like the worst thing ever.
But I think it more plays into the story that Gunther can let his guard down, and you know, because he's over his overconfidence. And a lot of times he looks down at his opponents. So he did the same thing to Zawa. And it's just a story that you overlook your opponents, you look past them. You know, if you're too confident or too cocky, low key they might surprise you. And I think that's going to be a big part that goes into WrestleMania. And I think Gunther is going to have a lot of the offense, and he's going to look past Jey Uso and overlook him, and then Jay's gonna come out and surprise him, and I think that's what's gonna be. And so this was a small glimpse into that, and I think if we had more wrestlers like Tozawa that we could sprinkle onto SmackDown, it would help their mid card a lot. Like superstars who could take losses but are like good in the ring. So that's why I think that not necessarily the cruiserweight division, but wrestlers like Tozawa,
even if it was just like performance center trainees who can come in and do like a 2-minute match, someone like when Bron Breakker faced that, was it Cale Carter or whatever, basically murdered him. He's on NXT by the way now.
Well, I like when they're known wrestlers though. That's why I like back in the day when you had a Funaki or a Jimmy Wang Yang.
Yeah,
or on SmackDown for
or someone years. like Stevie or Disco,
exactly.
Yeah,
who were on contracts for years.
Jamie Noble,
people who are known wrestlers, but you can put them in there, and they could take a 2-minute squash match to a building JBL or a building
right. I agree with you. I think if you had someone like that Shinsuke could come in and just beat the shit out of. For like 3 weeks in a row, people will get behind Shinsuke. Outside of that segment, you had Lyra retained.
Another good match against Dakota.
Very good match. I actually was not as upset as I thought I was going to be if Dakota lost. I like it. I don't know. Are we doing Lyra versus Ivy? I'm assuming that's what's next.
Yeah.
Is that
the Mania matchup, or is that?
That's what I was thinking. Like, is that Mania, or is that going to be
probably
like
before Mania? Probably.
Yeah. Part of me is still holding out on hope, and this is another question that we got asked. part of me still believes Becky Lynch is going to be here. And that Triple H, just like Nerdy D told you on has been trying to convince us on Wavy Mania, that Triple H has some surprises left in him that he's not giving away yet. And he's building towards them. And I think Becky Lynch could still be one of those.
Who's this person? Just go back to SmackDown real fast. Who's the person that they're teasing for Chelsea Green? You think it was, I thought maybe Natalia, but then Natalia showed up on Raw this past week.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's a Friday night SmackDown match, right?
Yeah, the Friday Fort Chamber in Toronto.
So I have two guesses. This is either the mandatory we have to put Natalia on TV in Toronto, or it's Nikki Bella. And I'm leaning towards Nikki Bella.
I'm not sure. I shouldn't have asked that question.
And I don't know. Those are my two guesses. It could be who God knows who. But I really – I'm with you on that one. So I wasn't upset that Nikki Bella was there. And I kind of wish, you know, since they brought him back at Rumble, she would be something at Mania to make sense of it. But that'd be a really crappy place to insert her. I think there's so many more women deserving of that spot at this moment. I just also hope it's not Meechan again, because I might throw my remote through the TV if Meechan comes out.
I wouldn't mind being Natalia, but the fact that Natalia was on Raw this past week with Alpha Academy, I don't know. I don't think it's her.
All right, so my best promo was Logan Paul, CM Punk. I thought that was, to me, the best segment of this role. Logan Paul's just naturally gifted into getting heat, and CM Punk can play off of that. And so this just has the chemistry. This really has me thinking, like, there's 1,000 different directions Chamber could go for the men, and no one knows for certain who's going to win. I'm a little bit frustrated that we didn't get I don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of, like, when we're doing a match like this, having all the competitors do promo battles against each other. Mm-hmm. And so I know Cena wasn't going to be there, but I would have at least liked to have Rollins, Priest, and I'm assuming that's what they're going to do on Friday. Yeah. They're all going to be there on Friday.
That pre-show.
Yeah. Yeah. And I honestly forgot about that. But I've noticed that Triple H books take or go home shows differently. He doesn't view the Monday night as really a go home any longer. He views go home as the Friday night SmackDown, which really there's really no roster separation anymore. It's just an illusion. But so let's go. We did best promo. Let's do best match of the week.
Best match of the week.
This one was easy for me.
I did like the triple threat on Raw, the Kaiser Penta and Pete Dunne match. I did like that. That was nice. Quick honorable mention, it wasn't a match, but I enjoyed the Austin Theory, Waller, and Jey Uso backstage segment.
Yeah.
I like the continued tension between Waller and Theory. I think that's going to be a Mania matchup.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the triple threat match. Okay. The SmackDown tag team match was a little underwhelming.
Yeah.
I fell asleep during it.
Yeah. So mine was the main event from last night. Liv and Raquel versus Bianca and Naomi.
Oh, yeah. Now fuck that. Yeah. That match is really good.
That was a very good main event. And I have a feeling, because I was watching that match the whole time. There's no – to get the booking that I want, there's no way Bianca can take this pin. Naomi has to take the pin to give Bianca a reason to attack Naomi. And so I think – now, I think Bianca possibly on Friday, possibly at this kickoff show, could come out and turn on Naomi and attack her. Maybe we find Naomi's pushed into a car somewhere backstage. That does leave up an empty spot at Chamber. It could be your booking of EO Sky. My only confusion with that is, if she gets into Chamber, is she still going to want the title match next Monday?
No. Maybe they have that match to decide who gets the stipulation, like the Mania stipulation.
Yeah,
I think the way it plays out though, I think Liv Morgan wins the Chamber.
Okay,
and then
it's a triple threat. Gets her. Okay,
yeah, I think Liv and Raquel interfere in the title match.
Okay,
and I think they're gonna triple threat match.
Okay,
because I'm still holding out hope for Bianca and Jade.
Okay.
Who's in the Discord? Is it Winners who thinks it's Naomi, or is
it's
it
B-Master?
B-Master who thinks it's Naomi, and you think it's Bianca?
I do. So
I think it's Bianca too.
So I think it's Bianca. I think you're hoping that Jade comes back, and with the reports that I've been seeing, it does feel like they're speed bringing. They're like on the path. Jade may come back before Mania. And if that's the case, it's going to be a Mania match. I kind of want this. My booking is, and this doesn't really ruin my Elimination Chamber predictions. It does, but everyone knows where I've been on this match for 6 months. I think Bianca wins the Chamber. So the way I would book it is she turns on Naomi. She wins the Chamber. She beats Rhea at Mania. Raw after Mania, she's celebrating. Jade comes out to celebrate with her on her return. Jade's return. She comes out. She surprises Bianca, celebrates with her, and sort of puts Bianca you know how they always do these celebrations? They got a table to put someone through. Mm-hmm. So she puts Bianca through the table and then walks away. The next week, she comes out. Why did I do that to Bianca? Y'all think I turned on her, but really she turned on me. Here's the real footage. And then announces Bianca as the actual attacker with the actual footage.
Mm.
And then that builds to SummerSlam, where I believe we'll get Jade and Bianca. I would not hate it if they speed this up and it is the Mania match. I just think the match itself is better if it's a build behind it that's longer than like 30 days. So that's just me. But yeah, I think that was one of the better women's tag team matches we've seen in a while. Not upset with the result. I think it does push a story along. I also think it opens up that division a little more, because Raquel and Liv are easier to overcome a pin than Bianca is. If like you were to go down to like NXT and Liv and Raquel lose the titles, it's a little bit more believable. It's someone like Bianca Belair. All right, let's do the most underwhelming performance of the week.
The most underwhelming performance was The Rock's entrance music.
Bro, what was that Lil Wayne song? That's what I heard it was.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
It would have made more sense if they played the music first.
Uh-huh.
And then went silent, and then did the Rock shit. Turn everything off, play the music, and then switch to the Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to say the music. I'm also going to say the Rock.
I think the promo too, but.
So the promo, not because of the storyline that came out of it. The storyline's okay. It's easily understandable. It's the delivery of the promo itself. It was definitely the Rock. It felt to me. You mentioned once that you felt Cena was playing the character John Cena. That felt to me like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, was playing a character known as the Final Boss.
Well, I think John Cena plays John Cena between the bells. He still has regular promo Cena, but it's when the bell rings and they're wrestling.
Yeah,
I feel like he's playing wrestler.
Rock, but this just felt a little forced. This is the problem when you don't script The Rock, is he sort of rambles at his age now. And so it felt like he was trying to do his, because when they did the replay yesterday, it felt better because they cut all the extra shit out. And it felt like he was giving them like 20 takes of the same line. And so it's fine. It is what it is. Just not the best promo. And then who's your MVP of the week?
My MVP of the week is... Liv Morgan.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Pulling double duty-ish by going, you know, SmackDown and Raw. I feel like she's really good in the tag team match as far as selling, hitting her cues, doing her moves.
Yeah.
I swear, every time she gets hit, I feel like she legit gets knocked out. She has a good, like,
face. Yeah. She's really good at selling. She's probably one of the best at selling on the roster right now.
Kevin Owens is also up there for that promo, him and Sammy. Sammy's passionate promo against Adam Pierce.
Yeah.
Is also good. Loki, Adam Pierce might get MVP of the week.
So here's what I like about Pierce. He's been announcing his shows beforehand now.
Yep. So he heard the complaints.
I couldn't really think of one star that stood out to me. So I just sort of I jokingly wrote down whoever negotiated the partnership between TNA and NXT. Thank you. You're the MVP of the week.
Cook tonight.
And so I don't know. Part of me wonders if we get some TNA guys on Stand and Deliver Mania weekend.
Probably, yeah.
So that's I haven't seen it yet. I know you saw the first hour of it, so we won't talk too much about NXT.
Well, I only saw the second half hour.
Okay.
I saw one match.
Right. So we'll go and we're gonna do our predictions for Elimination Chamber. I'll also say that this is not necessarily your best card. So you needed the Rock segment to add to the intrigue to watch.
Let's see, there's only four matches.
Yeah, so it's four matches. And then the Rock segment, which that tends to be the thing now, because Rumble had four matches, and
the Rumble's also each match is an hour long.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. The Chamber matches are going to be an hour long each.
They shouldn't be that long. I mean, they'll be long, but they shouldn't be like hour long matches.
I don't know. I have a feeling that they're going to be hour long each of them. So we'll start with unsanctioned Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. And to further my prediction, I think that Sami Zayn is going to be on the shelf for WrestleMania.
Okay.
I think he's going to miss Mania due to storyline injury.
Okay.
And he's going to bite the bullet. So Kevin's going to like really fuck him up at this unsanctioned match. And then we're going to get Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
Okay. Now, I don't remember where I heard this from. This may have been Bubba Ray, where I heard and I actually like this. I'm going to buy into this. I think this match ends with no finish. I think this is going to be the main event. And with it being unsanctioned, typically they used to call these back in the day like lights out matches.
Yeah.
Where they would do the main card, they would turn the lights off, and then turn on the house lights and basically pretend like the show's over, and then this match happens. And so I think that's what this setup is going to be. I think they're going to let them end the night, and at some point during the night, they're both going to be, like, knocked out, completely out. The ref can't revive any of them, and the camera just shuts off on a cliffhanger. And that cliffhanger takes us to Mania, where they finish it. That allows for a stipulation. It allows for another match. That makes sense. Because if there is a finish here, I don't see how you could turn it into Sammy Kevin again at Mania. Now, I also see your point of Orton. I think Orton's going to get involved. He didn't get involved in Kevin's Rumble match like I thought he would. So there could be a chance he gets involved here. So I could see, I like your finish if it's, you know, Sami Zayn out for extended period of time. That's a good finish. I wouldn't hate that. I do think, so my official prediction is there's going to be no finish. It's unsanctioned. The cameras are just going to turn off. No finish. But if I had to pick a winner, it would be Kevin Owens. It's the only way it makes sense to me. The match that I don't think anyone asked for, Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus versus Nia and Candice LeRae.
Tiffany and Trish.
Without a doubt. Trish is a Canadian. She's literally only in this match for that reason. It's a pop match. I don't even think this goes that long. This probably is the second match of the night in between the two chambers. So let's talk women's chamber. Liv, Bianca, Alexa, Naomi, Bayley, and Roxanne. We've already sort of given our winners. I'm Bianca. You think at some point EO can get into this, and you've already said Liv Morgan wins. Anything else you want to add to this match?
So I think if EO can find her way into the match, she wins.
Okay.
If not, if we have these six participants, okay. I think Liv Morgan wins.
Okay. I'm going to go this way. If it's not Bianca Belair, because there is a reality that I've just hooked myself to Bianca. I'm a little biased. I'll admit it. I do agree with you to be Liv. What I see here is Bayley Roxanne to set up her stand and deliver. Something between Bianca and Naomi is going to happen. And then Alexa is just sort of there. Part of me wonders, does the Wyatt Six play a part in this at all with her like transition back into like the leader of the Wyatt Six? No. She's the oddball in this one.
Yeah.
So, and then I do think Liv could win this as well. So it's either going to be Liv or Bianca, in my opinion.
Well, so if someone does get taken out and EO takes their spot, I think the person who gets taken out is Bianca.
Okay.
Because it saves her from taking a pinfall.
Okay.
It's a protector.
Okay. I can see that. All right, let's go down to the men's. This one's probably the most unpredictable elimination chamber ever that I can think of. At least in the last few years. We got John Cena, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, Damian Priest, and Seth Rollins. Who you got winning?
I bet. Here's exactly how the chamber's going to go down, okay?
Okay.
Here's exactly how it's going to go. So, Damian Priest will be the first one eliminated.
Okay.
He's going to be eliminated by Drew McIntyre. All right. The second person eliminated is going to be Drew McIntyre.
Okay.
So, Damian Priest. Scratch it. Here you go. Rewind. First person eliminated, Drew McIntyre.
Okay.
Second person eliminated is Damian Priest, because Drew McIntyre doesn't take too kindly to being eliminated. So he claymores Damian Priest.
On his way out?
Yeah. Which okay. Then Logan Paul gets the pinfall over Damian Priest.
Okay.
And then, so that leads to Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest fighting their way to the back.
Okay.
Next, I see John Cena pinning Logan Paul.
Okay.
Logan Paul then low blows John Cena on his way out of the ring. Hits him with a low blow.
Okay.
As you know, hits him with a low blow. So now we're down to
Cena Punk Rollins.
Yeah, Cena. No. Yeah, Cena Punk Rollins. And then the next person out is John Cena.
Okay.
So as John Cena is getting taken out of the chamber, Roman Reigns, the door is open. Roman Reigns sneaks into chamber. All right, he spears Seth Rollins.
Okay.
As payback for the attack at Royal Rumble, when Rollins curb stomped the fuck out of him. Which also injured Roman, so he couldn't participate in chamber. And then in the midst of this, he looks at CM Punk. He says, "There's your favor we owe you," or "There's your favor," or "There's your favor Heyman owes you." And then so he spears him, boom. He's like, he looks at Punk, "There's your favor." And then Punk goes over, pins Rollins, wins chamber.
Okay.
Keep that. But I think the Cena and Logan Paul stuff happens first. I think Logan Paul is the first one out.
Okay.
And then he low blows Cena. And then Drew McIntyre takes advantage of Cena. So, yeah. Logan Paul is eliminated.
Okay.
Low blows Cena.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre pins Cena.
Okay.
And then you have a brawl between Priest and McIntyre. One of them eliminates the other. The two of them fight. Gets the other one eliminated. And okay. Then that's when you got the...
Okay.
Because it makes sense if McIntyre and Priest are fighting while they're both eliminated, which is why the cage should be open longer.
Right.
And that's where it gets Roman in the ring.
But it also gives the camera something to focus on while Roman's getting in the chamber. Yeah. So, absolutely. I like that. So, for like the last like 6 weeks, I've been sitting here saying Cena's winning this match. I'm changing my mind. CM Punk's winning. 100%. CM Punk's winning this match. And I hope we get the finish you just said with Roman getting involved. I hope that happens. But I think CM Punk does win. That's going to be
my official. Give us Shield closure at WrestleMania. Roman versus Rollins. One-on-one.
That would be great. Punk wins. And that gives him a Mania main event. And then we move forward from that. The only other segment, like we said, is The Rock, Cody segment. But that's the first question from the Discord, so we could transition into that. Do you think Cody is turning heel, or is he going to stay face and reject The Rock's offer?
I think at Chamber, they shake hands and hug, but it's left. But Cody doesn't verbally say yes or no.
Right. So
and then that leads to CM Punk and Cody at Raw having a conversation of words.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't think we get answers here. I don't. I think Cody is conflicted, and I think what they're going to do all night is have like a camera on Cody and have him sort of like pondering whether or not he's going to do it. We're going to see like Brandy walk in with his kid. And, you know, he mentioned Brody Lee's son on his promo last night, which was crazy. But I can imagine like them bringing all of his like friends in, maybe some trainees he has at his wrestling school walk in and talk to him about it. Cause he made a very big deal about this isn't just affecting me.
What's his name? That Four Horsemen guy.
Arn Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they make a big deal about that. And ultimately, I don't think we get an actual answer. I think Cody sort of bullshits his way to an answer of, I don't know yet. I need more time. And The Rock gives him an extension. That way it can lead, because we still have a month and a half till Mania to get to put some story behind. So I don't think we actually get an actual answer till Mania. I think they're going to make us wait till the actual match itself. And if Cody says yes, he's going to turn heel some way during the match. And The Rock's going to come out and like hand him the title, and they're going to like embrace if he says yes. Or it's the Austin Vince McMahon turn on corporate Rock, that story where Punk is the guy who said yes to Rock, and the Rock turns on Cody, costing him the belt. And so those are the two things I can see happening. But I don't think we find out on Saturday. Second question. As far as the mid cards go, do you still think Becky is coming to face Lyra, or do you think it's going in another direction?
The only way she comes back to face Lyra is if Lyra has some type of open challenge at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's the only way. I could see that's the only way now that I could see it happening. They had a little bit of, like, yesterday, if Lyra retained and Becky came out, it would have been okay. No other place works to bring Becky back. Bringing her back on a random Monday, this doesn't really feel good. I said earlier, I'm holding out hope that that's the direction they go, but I don't think it is. I don't know what the direction is. Is it? I don't think Ivy Nile is a Mania worthy opponent. So I'm still on the direction that this title isn't going to be on the Mania card. All right, and the final question. This was from Witters, and it's a gauntlet match of something your state is known for, and that's deli meat.
Yes,
you're in the region of deli meats. I love me a good deli sandwich, though. So how do you want to do this? You want to have you want to do this individually to where we each pick a winner, or
we try to do it together?
Okay, so he created the matchup. So the first matchup in this gauntlet is corned beef versus turkey.
Now I know people do like to sell some corned beef. I was never a huge corned beef guy, especially. Yeah. I mean, I know people get it for St. Patrick's Day corned beef and cabbage. The flavor gets old real fast. I mean, the texture, the meat, I'm not a fan of. I gotta go with some turkey, especially if I'm going to a deli. Yeah, get a grinder.
That's why I asked, like, for specifications. Are we talking like deli style sandwiches? Because deli turkey, like, especially from the Italian dude who just got off the boat from Italy, bro, make them delicious ass sandwiches. Yeah, turkey's got to win this one. Now we got like a super matchup here. So turkey wins. He's exhausted, and his opponent is ham. Ham versus turkey.
Now I feel like it's one of those things where one of them, on average, is pretty good, mm-hmm. but the other one just has like a really like superior version of it.
Okay,
but it can also be has a wide range. Yeah, right. you have a really superior ham,
uh-huh.
and a very subpar ham.
Yep.
But that really superior ham beats that average turkey.
Right. Ham's going to be your winner.
Nice honey glazed ham.
Here's my thing. Ham to me is, this is just my opinion. If this was me, ham never loses. Ham is my favorite of the remaining matchups, and we'll see if we keep that here. This one's tough. This one, ham now has to take on bologna.
It's cousin.
Now I'm a southerner. We eat bologna like it's fucking breakfast food down here.
I like bologna too. I'm a bologna man.
Yeah, I don't know if it beats ham though.
So especially if I'm taking like a baked ham, like
yeah,
instead of like the boiled, if I'm taking baked ham,
yeah,
I do like me some bologna though. I go hold you.
Yeah, yeah, bologna's good, but just like you said, ham has like a spectrum. Like you get, and I don't think there's a bad type of ham, but when you get a good one, it's the best thing. Best thing you can eat. So ham, moving on.
Oh, I do like me some bologna though. Especially like thinly sliced.
So you like we eat thick cut bologna down here, and we fry the bitch.
I do like throwing the bologna on the grill.
Yeah.
Low key, I'm gonna hold you. We might have to do an upset. I'll take a bologna.
You wanna take bologna?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where we're gonna go individually, because I'm not doing bologna the rest of the way. I'm going ham. So the next matchup is pepperoni. So you're bologna versus pepperoni. I'm ham versus pepperoni.
I like my pepperoni on pizza. I like it on my charcuterie boards.
I like it by itself. I just never really asked for, unless you're getting like an Italian sub, but I never really asked for an Italian sub.
I mean, also up here in Connecticut, or at least, so I work at a deli as my part-time job. So like our Italian combo consists of capicola, prusatini, and salami.
Right.
We don't put pepperoni or ham on that.
Right.
But people sometimes will substitute the pepperoni on there.
You put the little pepperoncinis on it?
We have it, so we offer it. You know, it's not on the it costs extra. The peppers cost like 50 cents extra.
I'm paying that 50 cents.
Yeah. Offer. People do ask for pepperoni as a substitute sometimes or salami and pepperoni. But pepperoni belongs on pizza/charcuterie boards.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. So you're having bologna move on. I'm going to have ham move on.
We do have this nice sandwich, though. It's called a mozzarella pepperoni parm. So you take a mozzarella carosa, which is pretty much a square mozzarella stick, a thick one.
Right, right.
And then you cut that in half, whatever. You melt, you heat up so it melts. And then you put the pepperoni on top of that. And then you get like the panini bread, you toast it, and you get the marinara sauce.
Okay.
And you parm style that bitch.
That sounds delicious.
It is delicious. It is very
good. All right, so we're going to move
on. You got to eat it right away, though, or that cheese gets solid.
Right. Next matchup. So you are having bologna move on past
pepperoni. Yeah. Bologna moves on.
So same, ham moves on past pepperoni. Next matchup is for you, bologna versus chicken. I got ham versus chicken. I feel like this one's easy.
I'm assuming we're talking chicken cutlet. Or we're talking like...
I assume he meant like sliced chicken. Like sliced chicken. Because now, that's not a normal deli meat. Like, yeah. I don't know of anyone that slices deli chicken. Yeah, I know, Walmart does. Walmart slices deli chicken. But no one ever gets it. So, we're gonna amend this. And we'll say, because in a traditional deli, you're not getting like a chicken sandwich like that. You're getting chicken cutlets.
Yeah, chicken cutlet or chicken sandwich.
So we're going to amend it, and we're going to make it chicken cutlets. And that changes my answer here.
Yeah.
Because chicken cutlets are supreme.
Facts. So give me a chicken cutlet grinder.
Yeah. So now we're both back on chicken cutlets. So chicken cutlets versus salami.
I do like salami.
Yeah,
but again, when I get grinders, I tend to stick to the American meats.
Yeah,
so I get the turkey, hams, and the bolognese.
Yep,
and I like picking up the salami. So it's, say if like it's a little slow, I might grab a little salami, roll it up.
Okay,
toss it. Boom, boom.
Yeah, salami to me tastes better not on a sandwich, just by itself or with some cheese.
Exactly. Like.
But yeah, that chicken cutlet's going past.
So, especially the chicken cutlet is so versatile too.
Yeah. Last matchup: chicken cutlet versus roast beef.
I'm not a roast beef guy.
I hate roast beef. Absolutely hate it. And whoever the fuck is keeping Arby's in business over a roast beef sandwich? Look, I like everything else on the menu, but that beef and cheddar, gross.
It be hitting sometimes. I can hold you, but with the Arby's sauce, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably get Arby's maybe like 5 times a year.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I had Arby's, to be honest with you.
The curly fries hit different, bro.
Bro, I'm going to tell you this right now. My brother, James, is the only person I know that when he goes to Arby's, he gets the crinkle cut fries.
Ew, what?
The only person I know who does that. He pisses me off every time I see him do that. All right, ooh. So chicken cutlets are our winner.
Yeah, chicken cutlets the winner.
Yeah, that's the winner right there.
Man, you can tell this being weird. I know he's from Pittsburgh or whatever.
But yeah.
Doesn't even name like capicola, prusatini, prosciutto.
Which is crazy because they got a was it Primanti Brothers out there? That's like a major like deli out there.
Mm.
They got multiple locations. Anyway, we're gonna end this show with Thirsty Tuesday. We're in technically our semifinals. So the winners, to sort of fill in everyone how this is going to end up, the winners of each of these four matchups will face off in a fatal four-way next Tuesday to determine the winner.
Okay.
Representing TNA, we have Jordynne Grace versus Tessa Blanchard. That's going to be – I don't know how the voting is going to go for that one. You have any opinions on that one?
I don't want to sway the voters yet.
You don't want to sway the voters?
They'll probably vote by the time this video even gets out there.
You're right. Representing NXT, we have Sol Ruka versus Jasmine Nix. It's crazy. Miss Parker, I thought, was going to go all the way. But she had some tough competition last week.
The Withers and Beatmaster, they're on their phones right now. I'm looking at Discord. Both the names lit up. the cell phone symbols there.
Representing AEW, we have Harley Cameron versus Anna Jay. Both of which aren't on TV. Oh, man, we already got votes. And then representing the main roster, Liv Morgan versus Bianca Belair. Y'all fucking haters. Fuck all y'all. Oh, boy. But voting's up. It's already practically over.
Wait, who's the fourth one? You put the fourth person.
I did it. So it's Bianca, Liv, Harley versus
Anna. You got TNA, WWE, and NXT.
You don't see AEWs up there? Is it not posted?
No, it's AEWs.
Interesting. James, it's probably what James is typing. Where's AEW? It's showing on my screen.
Oh, okay. It just popped up.
Okay. All right, but those are the final four matchups. Y'all go enjoy that vote, and we will.
Oh, I got a small question for you.
Okay.
Not to end on a serious note, okay? But I seen some people talking on Twitter and whatnot.
Okay.
And they're pointing out, you know, so many years under Vince McMahon, and you know, we get recognition on Black History Month on WWE television. Under Triple H, not a single mention of Black History Month or like a little video package of the history of black superstars.
Right.
Do you think it's an oversight, an overlook?
No. So I think Triple H, when he answered this question when it was asked to him, where he stated, "I don't see race, I see talent," I think he meant that. And I think this is partially – it's a tough situation because it is a bad look. You sort of end Black History Month with taking the titles off of your black champions. I think, you know
– I don't care about that part. It was more just so the video package that we
– No, the year. So here's my question. I want to swing this, I guess, in the other direction. Would it – so – let's say, you know, Vince McMahon, he did the video packages, but if he were to come out and we got some secret tapes, you know, where he was super racist, but he showed credit to black wrestlers, would that change the way you felt about it? I just don't think it's that big of a deal, personally.
I've seen Vince say the N-word.
Yeah. Right.
The thing is, I'm fairly certain late last year, whenever it was, we did get like the Latino history video package, you know, for all the Latino wrestlers.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember. But
as far as Vince, like, I don't think Vince is racist. I just think he's just an asshole. And I think he's like, yo, if you can make me money, I could work with you. Right. But I don't think Vince is racist, though.
Yeah, no, I just personally, for me, it wasn't even something I connected the dots until people started complaining on Twitter, X. I just personally, I don't know, it just, fuck it. I'm not the biggest fan of, so I saw, there's a promo or a guy on Twitter, his name is Jobber. I'm sure you've seen him, his fucking post.
Yeah.
He's a black dude. And the reason I use him is because he's the one I'm stealing this tweet from, or I'm quoting from him. That I'll quote exactly from him because I don't want to quote what he said, but I actually agree with it.
While you find that, just for shits and giggles, there was one other stat that someone threw out there. They said it was for male black wrestlers. The last male black wrestler to win a singles PLE match was Bobby Lashley in 2022, and the last one to even be in a singles match was Carmelo Hayes.
It's crazy. All right, so I found his tweet. So he's quote tweeting some dude trying to get Ice Cube's son to talk about Black History Month, which is crazy. This dude, like, literally trying to film movies right now. Leave him alone. Oh. But Jobber quote tweets it and says, Black History Month shouldn't just be a one-month thing. It's 24/7. I applaud WWE for moving past the Black History Month facade. It's no longer needed. Which I kind of, like, I don't understand why we make such a big deal out of this. Personally, for me, like, I understand that, you know, black people haven't been treated the best in wrestling over time. So, yes, they definitely should be recognized. But I don't think it should just be focused on, here's your month. We'll give you four promos a year to recognize you. It should be one of those things where they're celebrated throughout history. And I think that's something WWE has done. I'm a little bit surprised, though, because Netflix would – I feel like this would be something Netflix would. And part of me feels like those promotions were like USA promoted. Like USA wanted them on Raw and SmackDown. But who knows? To me, this isn't that big of a deal that everyone on – they need something to complain about online. So if it's not – you know, because I've also seen – you know, now that Bianca and Naomi's lost the titles, oh, Triple H must be racist because there's no black champions. Forgetting the fact that, I mean, I guess NXT is not really his, but it is. He's one of the executive producers. But Obafemi's a champion. That's probably the only one. But I also personally, like, there isn't any, and this is WWE's fault, they haven't pushed really anyone in the men's division to be champion that's of black descent. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. I do think Triple H has a hard on for Latinos. I really definitely do believe that.
The Samoans.
And Samoans. But yeah, I don't know if it's that big of a deal, to be honest. Well, in this, we'll let you do your final thoughts. How's everything going on the love scene for you?
The love scene is a little bit on pause right now. It's been slacking lately.
Right.
You know, this app duet, it says I got like 26 likes waiting in the wing.
They never show them?
But they don't show them. So they're either from like the other side of the country, or maybe I got some biddies in like Korea who like me.
Right.
Who knows? But that's doing its thing. I mean, you know. I always got some options out there. I got some options out there. But right now, we've seen what's going on. Gotta say, if y'all not watching it, you gotta watch Could Have Been Love. I've been plugging it all week. My socials, my Discords, anyone who will listen, shout out Drewski. Okay. I like watching people act like fools. And it's Drewski, he's like a modern day, well, not modern day, because the guy's still alive, but he's like a newer version of DJ Khaled. Like, you know, yeah. Well, the show alone, I mean, sorry, besides from the show, Drewski, that man is never home. I swear, right. I look at my phone, he's doing a talk show here, he's like throwing the first pitch out over here, he's at some NASCAR event over here, that man is never home.
So, I know he's popular, and what the fuck did he get popular doing? Because I've never heard of him.
He blew up off of TikTok. I have a whole
thing. Okay, that's what I thought.
He was doing a lot of skits, and then he did a couple of skits / music videos with Jack Harlow, and him and Jack Harlow were boys.
Okay.
And then Juicy just kind of got that, like, he was in a couple of, like a cameo in a movie or two, and then
yeah.
he just became, like, a very likable influencer,
yeah.
social media person.
Which is crazy. Now, who was it? Was it Mike that said, are big guys getting recognition or something? And I forgot who it was. I saw someone, no, it's not that he's big, it's because he's rich. And, I mean, yeah.
He got money. He don't got
money.
But he got money. I mean, he's a funny guy as far as, like,
but I
he
think,
has really funny skits.
Well, and I think a lot of that is, I think a lot of people, especially, like, bigger people, like, don't recognize that, like, if you have a fucking personality, it doesn't matter how big you are.
Mm.
Like, if you have a personality, you should be able to pull. Like, yeah. So, and you know, bigger people have to have personality because there's really nothing else for us, you know, for us going on over here. So that's the reason why Wavy D's so funny. We got to be funny. We got to be funny because we sure ain't got nothing else. Yeah,
I'm telling you, Drewski is just Wavy D with money.
I can see that. I was called the white Drewski the other day. I'm not even kidding.
It was because the beard?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, we'll end it there. That's how we'll end this podcast. That's crazy. But tune in Friday. We're gonna talk a lot more about my hatred for Triple H's booking right now. I'll save the rant for Friday. But definitely tune in. Until then, we will see you. Oh, we're also going to talk about – we were talking about Vince. We're going to talk – Vince McMahon might be getting back into wrestling. We're going to talk about
I'll watch for this episode no matter what.
But with that, let us like, share, subscribe. We'll see you on the next episode.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.
I was thinking, oh, we're still recording.